We'll take up action on 1294. We are going to get through all the bills tonight. Representative Tupel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For all of you school board people who are about to leave, here's the carrot.
Representative Tupel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 1294 is simply a financial incentive for school districts to consolidate. I've placed before you an amendment to House Bill 1294. I'd like to go through that with you at this time. The original language of House Bill 1294 in Section 1 states that if I need a copy of that amendment, if anybody's got an extra one. Pass them all out, I guess. Section 1 in the original bill just states that if two or more school districts consolidate after July 1, 2001, the new school district is entitled to $100 per average daily membership as defined in 13.13.10.1, up to a maximum of 1,200 average daily membership for 3 years after the first year of consolidation. If you look to the amendment in Section 1 on line 6, 1,002 is defeated and deleted and insert 6 so that it would be $600 per average daily membership, and then after membership the insertion is from each school district. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. 1,200 per average daily membership would be changed, maximum of 600 per average daily membership from each school district or partial school district as it existed prior to the consolidation. In other words, the original bill limits the consolidated school district to a maximum of 1,200 ADM that they could receive credit for in this bill. The amendment would allow for 600 per district that's involved in the consolidation. And my effort to try and get around there is if we had multiple school districts, let's say three or four or five school districts that wanted to come together in a joint consolidation, I didn't want to limit that to 1,200 ADM. So they're basically limited to 600 per district that's coming together in the consolidation. So if there were five districts that were coming together and each of them were composed of 600 ADM, they could count a maximum of 3,000 ADM. If there's a larger school district, larger than 600 ADM that's involved in the consolidation, they can only count 600 of their ADM. If there's a school district in the consolidation that's smaller than 600, then they can count the number of ADM that they have in their district. That change is just to accommodate consolidations of multiple school districts of more than two. I would move on to Section 2. The original part in Section 2 dealt with the situation if you were consolidating two school districts and one of the school districts didn't consist of a complete school district. In other words, if a school district was being dissolved and divided and going in two different directions, I didn't want this bill to give the situation where you could take a larger school district that could count all of their students and then just count a few students in a portion of a dissolved district and call it a consolidation. That language is deleted because it is taken care of with 600 per district in the change in the language in Section 1. So with the amendment, Section 2 is deleted, and in its place on line 8 is a statement: for purposes of this act, no student may be counted more than once. In other words, if there are two school districts that come together in a consolidation, and after a period of 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, another another school district wants to come into a consolidation with the originally consolidated school district, you can't go back and count the students in the originally consolidated school district that have already received the benefit again. I hope that the amendment is not overly confusing. It was an attempt to try and improve this bill to make it address situations where you could have multiple consolidations of small school districts and accommodate them so that they could count all of their ADM in a small school district under 600, and they wouldn't be limited to the 1,200. I just want to throw out a couple ideas and statistics with you. As you know, we have 176 school districts in this state. 132 of them serve fewer than 600 students. Those total of 132 school districts serve approximately 35,000 students. The other 44 school districts serve more than 600 students serve 93,000 students. I thought it'd be interesting to look at the school districts in relation to the number of square miles they serve as well. And if you look at those 132 school districts that serve fewer than 600 students, 16 of them serve an area larger than 900 square miles. That would be an area that if you took a circle with the school in the center and went out with a from a radius 17 miles, an area of a circle 17 miles would encompass an area of 900 square miles. 16 of those 132 school districts serve an area that's larger than that. 116 serve an area that's smaller than that. We had a gentleman that got up here from Faith High School, and he talked about, you know, the people in Faith are talking about this bill of representative rectors and how, you know, we can't have any more consolidation. And I don't have any issue with his testimony at all. There are many areas in western South Dakota predominantly that are just too sparsely populated to be able to support a large school, and they're going to need additional funding regardless of what we do. It's just simply too far distances to be able to pragmatically operate a larger school district in many of those areas. But when you look at the function of 900 square miles or a radius of 17 miles out, that's not a very large area. And the fact that 116 of our 132 school districts were providing a small school factor to don't meet that criteria. Now, whether or not that's the right criteria to use or not, I don't know. But I think when you're looking at small school factor, you have to look at something besides the size of the school. I think that somehow or another geography has to come into play into this issue. And, you know, obviously there's areas that are just too sparsely populated that are always going to have to be funded with some kind of a factor to deal with that situation. But I would offer to you that in situations that are smaller than 900 square miles, for example, where it's 17 miles or closer to a school, maybe that's not the right figure. Maybe it should be 15 miles or closer. Maybe it should be 12 miles. Maybe it should be 25 miles. I don't know what the right figure would be. But some function of geography there. Then it's no longer, in my opinion, I don't understand why it's the state's responsibility to fund that inefficiency. Because in my opinion, there is another option, and that is a local decision that's being made. A local decision. We talk about local decisions. We need to have local decisions. And I agree. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm not advocating that we ought to mandate school boundaries to be such and such. But when you talk about local decisions, that's a local decision. Locals are choosing to keep their school small, even though there's another geographical option. I don't see where the state taxpayers have a responsibility to subsidize that with a small school factor. And I would assert to you, you know, the gentleman from Faith got him talked about 15 students in a class as being a good size, and that you know, you can educate kids well. They get a lot of individual education, and I don't have any objection with that at all. But when you talk about the small school factor being up to an extra 20% per student that goes to that school district, I don't think that's quite fair to the kid that's being educated in Spearfish in a classroom of 26 to 34, or a kid that's being educated in Rapp City in a class of 26 to 34, or in Sioux Falls, that just because they go to a large school district, they have to sit in a class of 25 or 26 kids because their school district can't afford to have a smaller class size, because we have to subsidize local decisions made in areas where geography is not the limiting factor. We have to subsidize those decisions up to the tune of 20%. extra in the funding for it. And they've talked about $14 million not being a lot of money. Well, $14 million to educate 128,000 kids, if you put that evenly distributed it back into the funding formula, it would raise the boat for everybody 3%. In my school district, that's $250,000. There's a lot of things that my school district could do. You do with an extra $250,000. They're cutting their budget this year $900,000 because of declining enrollment, and they don't have enough money to make it cut. When you talk about an extra 20% at some of these small schools that educate 200 or fewer kids. And I want to add, when you talk about the 200 or fewer kids in function of the 900 square miles, the 17 miles, there's two school districts in this state that serve fewer than 200 kids and more than 900 square miles, and they're both west of the river. But when you talk about, and there's I believe, 52 school districts in the state that serve fewer than 200 kids. So 50 of those that are serving fewer than 200 kids that are getting an extra 20% in the funding formula are serving an area that's smaller than 900 square miles. You talk about that extra 20%, in my school district, that'd be an extra $2 million. If we had an extra $2 million, we could have a class size of 15, too. But because we're at the bottom of the funding formula, because we're over 600 students, we have to make that work. And so I just think there's an inequity there when you don't take geography into consideration with the funding formula. And I think we're subsidizing local control decisions that locals have the opportunity to make, whether they want to run a small school or a large school. And if they want to run a small school, that's fine. Then I think they should opt out. But this bill doesn't really deal with that. It just provides a financial incentive to consolidate, and it gives them some flexibility with that money and addresses some of the issues that people have brought up in terms of consolidation not being able to be palatable to the voting public. This gives a little carrot to help ease that. It gives them the opportunity, if they need to do some structural changes, or there wouldn't be limits on this financial incentive to consolidate. So I just ask that you would give this some close study and favorable considerations, and I'll stand by to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further supporters, 1294.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Gene Ink representing the School Boards Association. We have had lots of conversations with Representative, and we know that this is one of the incentives we were talking about. It's the kind of thing that we have to do. Is this the final word? No, I don't think so, but I think it would be very helpful and encouraging. When we know that there are several out there that would go together rather quickly if they had some incentive like this to do it. I think it's a very simple bill. I hate to say that, they usually get killed. But I think this is right, and I think it's a step in the right direction. In the last conversation we had on the last bill, there was a lot of people saying, well, we're headed in the right direction, and this is a step. This is an actual step, and I think it would be effective.
Okay, thank you. Further proponents.
Good evening. Lona Lewis, South Dakota Education Association, registered lobbyist. We support this bill because we think it does several of the things that were discussed in the earlier conversation by those who opposed Representative Richter's bill. It is still local control. It's still the communities making a decision. But in any situation, you have to reach a point where what you're offering is enough to make a difference and be an incentive to go through consolidation. And I know, as all our as our association knows, that there are statutes on the book that do allow incentives for districts to come together. We believe what Representative Tupel brings before you is a recognition that you haven't reached the point where you've offered enough. In any good business situation, we know we have startup costs. And in consolidation, you're going to have startup costs. And what he's offering in this bill, and if you support it, would be the money for the schools to do correctly what they have to do to form good consolidated schools. Interestingly enough, 22 states are facing the same problems as South Dakota, with many of the rural districts in those 22 states facing the same kind of problems. Can we continue to exist? What do we have to do? What do we have to do at looking at consolidation? Those states have recognized something, that it takes more money for consolidation. Someday consolidation may save money, but in the very beginning, you've got to have startup money to do it correctly. Therefore, we support Representative Tupel's bill and hope that you will pass it out to the House and give it a fair chance to be heard, because we think it could do what a lot of people in this room want to do, and that's consolidate. But it would be doing it by having the communities to decide to consolidate, not the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Christy Johnson with the school administrators. I've had the opportunity to visit with Representative Tupel on a number of issues, and even though we don't agree on all things, I really would like to support this bill. There was an interesting piece on the 6 o'clock news tonight where they were talking about consolidation and talked about what they had done in Iowa, and this is exactly the type of thing that the people in Iowa said was most productive and most helpful in encouraging and helping schools who are interested in consolidation. So I would ask your vote yes on this bill. Thank you.
Further proponents?
I'm Larry Jonke from Irene, and I'm also the chairman of the Small School Coalition, and we do too support any incentives that you would give, because we do know that there are districts that are looking at consolidation, and probably the main roadblocks are having a startup cost. And there's only one other thing I would add. In some instances, I think what you should look at somewhere down the line is setting up some type of trust fund where districts could, when they reorganize, could get very low interest loans to help them build. I think there's a need to help them build. And that's the only other thing I would add, but we do support any incentives that you would give to help our members and other schools to reorganize in South Dakota.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none. Opponents, 1294. Seeing none, questions from the committee? Representative Davis.
Representative Tupel. Where do you propose we come up with the money?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know that I have an answer for that. That would be an answer that we'd have to deal with in appropriations. And in terms of money, I don't know that I can tell you exactly how much money we'd be talking about here. It would be a function of how favorable small school districts saw this program to be. Dale Birch and I tried to put together some figures, and the figures that we put together, at least in terms of what would be a maximum, and in terms of the maximum number of students or number of ADM that would qualify for something like this, if you took your 40, if every consolidation that could take place under this possibly took place, your 44 school districts that are over 600 ADM would each qualify for a maximum of 600. That would be 26,000 ADM. If you're all of your under 600, the 35,000 students that are under 600 would also qualify. That gives you a total of 61,300 is what we came up with. It was a maximum number of ADM times of $100 potentially. If every consolidation conceivably took place that could take place under this in the same year, then that would be a maximum of $6.1 million. Now, obviously, that's not going to take place. I don't know how to tell you how many would take place. I don't have a clue in terms of if you could address that. Would a third take place? Would a tenth take place? I have no idea. What I would assert to you is this, that we would want as many of these to take place as possible, because what this is going to do, every place one of these consolidation takes place, is going to eliminate the small school factor being spent there at some point in after that consolidation. Now, if it stayed on the way it's currently on the books, there's the schools that consolidate can continue to get the small school factor for a number of years, and it's phased out. And so even if that's phased out or 7 or 8 years, within a 10-year period of time, you would get your money back because you would no longer be paying the small school factor. So my assertion to you is any money that you would spend on this would be a good investment because of the money that it would eliminate being spent on the small school factor.
Further questions? No further questions. Representative Bagalka.
Thank you, sir. You alluded to that law that's already on the books that gives a sliding scale small school factor for 8 years. So this would be in addition to that.
That's correct.
Further questions? Seeing none, we'll close to committee action. There is a pending amendment, 1294 DC.
Rebuttal time?
Well, you didn't have any opponents, but okay. If you want to rebut yourself, you sure can. I think you're doing fine, just as you are. But
okay, I had a couple of things that
sure,
I wanted
ahead.
To address that issue. I also had a couple other handouts that I just wanted to give the committee. Just in terms of one was put together by Mike Baber-Alley in terms of dealing with this idea of the number of students versus the square miles, and he put together a few different scenarios in terms of consolidation. I would pass that around, and I also just have a handout that has a ranking of school districts in terms of teacher pay, and you can readily see that by taking a look at that in terms of teacher pay, it's the larger schools that are able to pay more money, and I don't think we'll ever address the teacher pay problem without addressing the consolidation problem. The tax coffers in South Dakota aren't deep enough to deal with the teacher pay problem unless you also address the consolidation issue. So I would just pass those out and thank you for the opportunity to come before you.
Thank you. Open to committee action. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that 1294 DC, I would move the amendment.
Is there a second? Moved by Smith, second by Monroe. Comments on the motion to amend? Hearing none, those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. 1294 is so amended. Further action on 1294.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative McCoy.
I would move to pass.
Moved by McCoy, second by Smith. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, the question before the committee then is a do pass motion as amended on 1294. Those in favor will say aye. Opposed, nay. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bartley.
Aye.
Bagalka.
No.
Davis.
Yes.
Elliott.
Aye.
Barnes.
Aye.
Heineman.
No.
Junkie.
Yes.
Poistra.
Aye.
McCauley.
Pass.
Would you... we're going to not allow passing anymore. I would add, this is a no-passing zone. I would ask that we call the roll in reverse, starting with the chairman.
Harris?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Wick?
Absent. Do pass motion 10-4 goes to floor. Do pass. Thank you, Representative Tuple.